Hello, everybody. This is Ron Satermo back with another Tri-Chatter, and we have a very special edition today. We have a brother-sister team, and they're both amazing triathletes, Steve and Liz Sponigal.
Okay. Amazing. I like having that attached to my name.
Yeah. I'm amazed by you guys. It's incredible, your histories. Now, Steve, I know a little bit. Well, I don't really know Steve, but I know his name because he's one of the local sprint guys here that's usually at the top of the podium.
And I think I'll stick to sprints from now on, too.
Have you done longer stuff?
I have. I've done two Ironmans and a few half Ironmans. I did this one.
Yeah, I noticed
Galveston
the shirt.
One. And,
I dragged him to it.
He dragged me, and I wasn't really prepared for it at all, and shockingly got fourth place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time. It just was not a stellar field. You know, I did it.
What? Never explain your positioning on the podium.
Yeah.
I was fourth.
I mean, the 64-year-olds were faster. So whatever it was, I was laughing about it. It was fun, and but
it was great because it was the first they had the men and the women for 55 to 59 up on the podium at the same time. So for the first time ever, we were up on the podium at the same time, and neither of us had a camera, sadly.
Oh, no.
So we couldn't send a picture home to mom and say, here's what your old children are doing now.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. So, amazing.
But it was great. It was very fun. The announcer was going, okay, we have Liz Sponigal from Santa Fe and another Sponigal from California. He couldn't quite make the connection.
Yeah.
We should have acted shocked and
oh my God!
No, we're related. Yeah.
It's not that common of a name, actually.
No,
not at all.
Yeah. So, Steve, you do the shorter stuff primarily now.
Yeah.
And have done some longer stuff, but Liz, are you primarily a long distance racer?
I've raced all distances just because I'm still relatively new to the sport. I started when I was 51. I'm 57 now.
Okay.
So I've kind of tried it all. I started with an Olympic distance race and won my age group my first race. I went, this is fun.
Oh, this and easy, huh? Yeah, right.
I had a blast. I felt like a kid again.
Can't you hate people like that?
Yeah. I didn't have that kind of success when I started.
It was fantastic. And so I just did a lot of local races and up to Colorado because it's easy for me to get there from New Mexico. And then what did I do? I did a half Ironman, my first one, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Buffalo Springs.
Oh, tough one.
Very tough one. It stormed.
Oh,
it scared me. I was so scared. But I ended up fourth in my age group and was real happy with that kind of finish in that field. You know, there's Missy and some other big names in that age group at that time. That was when I was 50 to 54. And then the following year I went back and then I won my age group and got the Kona slot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then last year, I decided to go completely different and race ITU Worlds.
Okay.
In Budapest. Because of my ranking, I was invited to be on Team USA. And thought, yeah, go try something different.
Yeah.
Since it's all kind of new anyway, and I haven't quite figured out what my distance is and where I might specialize. So I trained completely differently. It was all about speed and power, especially on the bike. And because the course is multi-loop and flat, and I just crushed it on the bike. It was great.
Yeah. And how did the rest of the race go?
I'm not a terrific swimmer. I'm a mid-pack swimmer, and
how
IT.
How did that happen when you've got such a
well,
great?
Well, you know, everybody's got their specialty.
I mean, you didn't give your sister any pointers. I mean, come on, dude.
She was a swimmer in high school,
but not a very good one. I was an okay swimmer. I'm an okay swimmer still.
Yeah.
But ITU racing, whoever gets out of the water first is basically going to win.
Yeah.
Because everybody can ride fast on that kind of course. And so, you know, I ended up with the fastest bike split, and I'm a good runner off the bike. And so I pulled a few more places out there and ended up seventh.
Wow.
Seventh in the world. I'll take that.
Not bad.
That's okay.
And I heard that was a tough race. The roads were not that great.
The roads
I don't think
were,
the weather was...
It rained a lot. The sprint people the day before had a race in the
okay,
rain.
Okay, yeah.
The Olympic distance, we got dry roads.
Okay.
There were a couple puddles, but it was lots and lots of turning on the course, which I practiced. I knew those turns were going to be there, so I practiced turning as and accelerating out of my turns and all of that. I knew it was coming. So it was, you know, it was fun. It was an interesting experience. I don't know that I'd do it again unless it was someplace really enticing.
Like Beijing doesn't have any...
No appeal. I got invited to go and I went, no.
Yeah.
No. Maybe Italy, you know.
Yeah. Actually, the shirt I've got on was a gift from Russ Jones when he went to Australia.
Yeah.
And he did Worlds. Yeah.
So it was fun to go do and find out where my speed truly is, which... Who knew? I turned into a cyclist from a running background.
Amazing. Well, where did you guys grow up?
Costa Mesa.
Okay.
Yeah. Costa Mesa High School.
And then how did you end up in Santa Fe?
When I had my kids, I was married and I had my first daughter and didn't want to raise her in Southern California. I thought it was too difficult of a place to raise decent children. So.
Yeah. Because you guys turned out so terribly.
Well, we grew up in a different time period.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets harder and harder, I think. And I always loved New Mexico, so we ended up out there. And so both my kids are raised there, and now they're both itching to get out. So
to come back to Southern California,
yep.
Probably. Yeah,
yeah they yeah. are.
And you too.
Yeah.
Oh, and you want to come back.
Well, Santa Fe is a very small town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a great group of triathletes there. I have some tremendous friends, and that's who I'll miss and what I will miss about it. But there's many things I won't miss. And there's not great open water swimming.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Uh-uh. So you are coming back. You sounds like you've made up your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully sometime soonish.
Yeah.
Cool. Every time I train here, I'm running in Aliso Wood Canyon and going, this is spectacular. You know, you've got the ocean right there, and great, we went on a great ride today, and the roads are clear, and there's actual shoulders to ride on.
Yeah, bike lanes, yeah.
Bike lanes, all of that.
Yeah.
So
are you guys both athletic when you grew up?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We both competitively swam since little tots. I was like 8 years old when I started competitive swimming.
Yeah.
And all the way through high school, then I was kind of burned out of it and didn't really come back to it until started doing triathlons, really.
So what year did you start, Steve?
2002.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the Newport Beach.
Yeah.
And got third behind Russ.
Behind
old crew.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Russ and I don't remember who was second.
It wasn't me, that's
Palchikov.
For sure.
Jay Palchikov, I think.
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was thrilled. I did it. You know, that water was cold.
Yes.
And I didn't have a wetsuit. I didn't have any gear. So I wore a Speedo. And I had my old steel bike.
I was going to say, what kind of bike did you have? Tell me you didn't ride it on a mountain bike.
Downtube shifters. And, you know, and I ran in the Speedo.
Hey, that's old school.
That's old school.
That's old school,
yeah,
man.
It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Ferris.
You probably weren't the only one.
Ferris still does Kona in his Speedo, man.
I know.
He wouldn't wear a shirt if they didn't make him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did I hear? He just won a race, and he still did it in his Speedo, and the average temperature is like 51.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. That, you know, something that comes down to your knees is necessarily going to keep you
warm. It's going to make a lot of difference. Yeah, it's just that it's pretty wild. But, yeah, so that's when I started, 2002, and had two or three pretty good years, and you know, so I ramped it up to the Ironman distance, and the training kind of broke my body a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aging up, you know, you start shrinking, and turns out I went to a chiropractor and had x-rays, and the guy said, I'm surprised you can even walk.
Really?
And because I've got just a huge S-curve, and doing that long training, everything, it just beats my spine to no end, you know. And So I just can't do that kind of distance anymore. So I'm relegated to sprints and Olympics.
Wow. Wow. So that was it? It wasn't like you were in a car accident or anything? It was
just
constant pounding?
Grew up like that, and it was never a problem. You know, I as a swimmer, I didn't start running until I was 25. Mm. And so I didn't have any issues until I took on that kind of extreme training, and I was getting older. And so, you know, the disc shrank, and now, you know, bones are probably hitting each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So the first Ironman you did was when?
2005, Florida, same as Larry. He was out there, and I didn't know Larry at the time.
Okay.
And
because that was his first Ironman, yeah, too, I believe, and then he did Wisconsin after
yeah,
that.
We were in different age groups, so thank God, because he beat me there.
You had a good race there, too.
I had a pretty good race, 11 hours. I was very happy with it.
That's
I had
really
no
good.
Clue, no, you know, nobody who knew me ever thought I'd go that speed. And, yeah,
well, that's the
happy.
Thing, especially going Ironman. I was like, how do I pace myself?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah. I mean, you really don't, you know. I've written articles about pacing and stuff, but, you know, how you know?
Can I go hard here? How, you know, is it going to hurt me later?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was really, it was, I went very conservative.
Huh.
In Kona, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
Now you do.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll go see.
Yeah, but I think it changes each time, too,
you know,
depending on the conditions and stuff. And
sure.
Because, you know, Kona is pretty, it's pretty predictable. It's going to be hot. It's going to
be
windy,
yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's hotter than other times. Sometimes it's windier than other times.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get rain.
Rain, yeah.
You know, sometimes the
apparently
surf
sometimes
out
there's
there.
Jellyfish.
Yeah. Well, I think Liz's advantage here is that last time, 2009, she had the fastest run in her age group.
Wow.
And
this is at Kona?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
what was your run split?
4:12.
Wow. That's awesome.
Qualified for Boston.
I want to do that. I want to. Of course, I need 3:45 though. I think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I didn't want to enter Boston with that time. You get put in the back of the pack.
Yeah,
at the
now,
start.
But now no. The way they changed the rules.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's okay.
So
it's kind of a cool thing to.
So knowing that she has the rundown for that, what I think she should do is. Do the swim, of course, get out on the bike and pretty much push the bike until you've passed everybody you know, especially Missy, you know. And at that point, relax the rest of the bike because you're already ahead and you got the run. So, you know, I think she has a good chance. Of course, moved up in her age group is Laura Sophia, so it's going to be difficult.
She's pretty untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always somebody like that.
Always.
You know, Joe Bunness.
Yeah.
In our age group, you know, you're not going to beat the guy.
Yeah. No, you're just watching all.
It took him about 15 minutes to catch me at Florida, and he just rocketed by me.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
On the bike.
On the bike.
Yeah.
And he had an entourage behind him, which you've heard all the rumors of Florida, you know.
Drafting.
Yeah,
you know.
A lot of drafting and all these people just right behind him. What is this?
Everybody needs to, you know, pay him $100 for, you know,
dragging
him along, you know.
Yeah. So, but at least for a while I was ahead of Joe.
Well, oddly enough, I was ahead of Joe at Kona last year. And I'm not the swimmer half the swimmer that you are. We're going to look at our times here from Carlsbad, printing them out. But I was ahead of Joe. I've raced Joe. I think that was only the second time. I raced Joe at Ironman Arizona in 2008, and in November. The one that was
before
the year
it changed.
I was there in
races.
7.
Yeah, that was a crazy race in April that same year, but. Joe was ahead of me the whole time, and I knew who he was, obviously. I'd never met him at that point. But the guy is just, he's a machine on the bike, and he's a metronome on the run, you know. he had, and again, this is 2008, so he was 50-54 age group. His bike split was 4:45, which was the fastest non-pro out of everybody, all age groups.
Really?
Not in our age group, in all age groups, all the 20-year-old guys, the 30-year-old guys.
Yeah, usually those 30-year-old guys amazing.
He's insane.
Yeah.
He's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in that other, league.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few of them. But then I raced him at Kona last year, and I'd met him a couple of times since then. I beat him out of the water, and I found out later that he'd had heart problems, and now I guess, and I don't know why, but his wife was telling me that he needs to take it easy on the swim because it's tougher on his heart for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
It's the meter breathing, probably.
Could be. Yeah.
I don't know. But so anyway, I beat him out of the water, and he passed me on the bike at mile 6 or something.
Yeah.
The guy is just—he's incredible.
Yeah,
amazing. So you've had these back problems, and now you're back, but you don't race that much. You're not like Russ Jones races 20 times a year.
No, I'm not going to do that. There's other things in life to do too. Yeah,
true.
And but yeah, I limit my running a lot. And you see my run time at Carlsbad, it wasn't all that great, and I just don't run that much anymore because it just pounds too much. So a lot of time on the bike and a lot of time in the water, and not quite as much. If you look at my breakdown, I'm 43% swimming, 33% riding, and 22% whatever the rest is.
Okay.
Running, and when I do run, it's all really steep trails, hills, and stuff, and instead of just running out the flats and stuff. So try to get my legs hurting in the shortest amount of time and be done with it.
Yeah,
protect my back.
So you're working on the power more than the speed, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your back's just not going to let you.
No. Before I started back up this year, I was kind of leading more towards doing open water swims, doing 5Ks, and wanted to bring it up to a 10K, and really haven't found a 10K I want to do yet. But I'd like to. I'd like to get that done. I did a 5K up in Long Beach, and it was some sort of regional thing. I got third place and was pretty thrilled with that.
That's awesome for a guy that says he can't run.
No, 5K swim.
5K swim.
Oh, 5K swim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never done a swim that distance. As a matter of fact, I just did the peer-to-peer a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
the
first time I'd ever done it. That was a brutal swim that day.
I want to do that. The San Clemente Ocean Fest is the same weekend, and that's where I was.
Oh, okay.
I did that. And I got trounced there. I got third in the mile swim there. And it was kind of shocking. I usually win that. But first was about a minute ahead of me, and second was just seconds ahead of me. But, you can't tell.
So did you know who these guys were?
No. Well, I don't.
No, never heard of them.
And the age group is bigger, 50 to 59. So.
That's a 10-year spread. I mean, come on.
Those 50-year-olds.
Those young guns.
Well, I'll tell you, you look at the times, there's a huge difference between 50-54 and 55-59.
Definitely there is.
Yeah, Russ has mentioned that too. He says if you can survive up into getting into the 55-59, you've got it made.
Maybe. Because there's always people that move up there. Every year I get ranked a little lower. Last year I was 8th. At USAT rankings, a year before I was 6th, and it's not because I'm getting slower. It's just that younger, faster people are moving into my age group.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I noticed that.
It just happens.
At Kona last year, was it last year that I was looking at? No. It was before Joe Bunness aged up. And I was looking at the times 50-54, and I think it was 9 out of the 10. Top guys were 50.
Yeah,
and he was 54.
Yeah.
And he was in the top 10 as well. So, there's really something to be said for that. It's almost like I'm being coached by a guy. I don't know if you know Jeff Cutaback.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jeff is a Florida guy. He's kind of coaching me online now, but it seems like he races in Kona every 5 years, you know, when he ages up, and he's got his best chance to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, there's I probably won't try to go back again until I age up to the 60 to 64.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that hooked on it.
Well,
I mean, some people are. They have a real need to go every year, and I was like, really? No, there's other stuff. I want to go climbing in the Dolomites. I want to go ice climbing in the Himalayas. You know, I want to go.
Especially if you don't win and you have to do another event to qualify, and now there's hardly any half Ironman qualifiers for Kona. So
yeah.
And I just,
you're doing two Ironmans in a year and the training for that.
I don't want to do it.
That's just wicked.
Yeah, well, that's my year. That's what I'm dealing with, you know, because I, California 70.3. You know, was a qualifier.
Not
and
anymore.
I didn't have a yeah. great race there. And it's right, it's not a qualifier next year.
Yeah.
And then I did Ironman St. George, but with the idea that if I wasn't in contention to qualify there, and the only, frankly, the only reason why I did that race is because Larry and a bunch of my other pals were doing it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go, and it was fun. You know, we did a training camp there, and, you know, we went, and it was fun. But it's not, I'm a weak cyclist, so I didn't really have a prayer. And I think I was in seventh place after the second loop on the run. It's like, okay, there's no way I'm, you know, you got to finish in the top three.
This is not happening today.
Wasn't going to happen today. So I pulled the plug and did Honu, which is 4 weeks later. And I was in first place in that race until mile 10 on the run. And some guy in La Jolla, never even heard of the guy before. I went back to Athlinks and looked him up, and it's like, who is this guy? He just came out of nowhere.
Yep, they do.
You know, and when he went by me at mile 10, he was going a minute a mile faster than I was, so there wasn't a prayer, you know. So that was actually, that was another attempt to qualify, and so I've decided to do Louisville, which is in 4.5 weeks or something like that, to try one more time, but... That's my year.
Yeah.
And frankly, the only reason why I'm trying so hard this year is because I've got a dozen friends of mine that are gonna be there.
Yeah, and that would make it more fun if I had a ton of people I knew. I mean, I know a few people going, so it'll be fun. But that's not something I want to do every year, because then that's all you do.
Yeah, yeah. It's really consuming.
It is. And
there's a lot of other...
I don't care to be consumed by it. I mean, I like it. I'm happy that I'm able to do it. I think it's very exciting, but there are other things to do as well.
Well, let's take a look at these results, shall we, from Carlsbad. Since are you doing Pendleton, by the way?
No.
Okay. Are you racing again?
Pat Coast.
Pacific Coast,
yeah, I'm really going to push hard to do well there.
I think that's the same day as 70.3 Worlds, though. Do I have that right?
In Vegas?
There's something else that same day that I think I'm already...
LA tries usually the same day.
Yeah.
Is it the very first weekend of September? Or
September 11th.
No, that's... that's Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's Vegas. Yeah. So I qualified at Honu, so I'm planning on doing that one. Okay, so Carlsbad. Here's the swim. I should probably turn the light on so I can see this a little better. Steve did 16:03 and kicked everybody's butt by a huge margin. I was second, by the way, in the swim, 18:28. So you beat me by 2.5 minutes on the swim.
Remember that big wave?
Yeah.
It almost pulled me back into it, and I just struggled like crazy to not get sucked back in, and popped up, turned on my back, and look to see if any other caps were coming up. Nobody. I just, I even said something to the lifeguard right there on the paddleboard, and then just kept swimming. And you know what? When you get that kind of feeling, the whole race changes mentally inside you. You all of a sudden have all sorts of energy. So that set me up right there. That was good. And I caught a wave coming in too.
I was so exhausted by the time I got to the first buoy.
Just trying to get out.
Oh my God. It was like, this is insane. I was just wasted by the time I got to the first buoy.
It was rough getting out there. And I overcompensated for the current, too. I went way left. And I should know this because I've done it every time. You know, I look at the current, you know. L.A. one time I found a tennis ball on the beach, threw it out there, and watched how fast it would drift.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, this little trick, everybody.
And I usually get through the surf pretty fast. So what I don't think about is that, and I try to compensate, you know. And once I get through the surf, I look up, and the buoy's still that way. So I, you know, over to the right before I turn left around the buoy. So, you know, always mess that up. But it was fun, though, that, regardless.
Yeah. I mean, that's just an amazing swim split. Nobody was close to it. I was second. Bike 44:31, which I think, I didn't actually look at this one that closely, but I think that was the fastest split too. So how do you train for the bike? I mean, you said that, I forget what the percentage is that you said.
33%.
Yeah. So how do you train for the bike?
I ride to work twice a week, which is from Laguna Niguel to Rancho Santa Margarita. It's about 13, 14 miles. And I've got like a 20-pound backpack on.
Oh.
So the hills, you know, get a little harder that way. And I do tend to push it. And then lunchtime is divided up to either riding or running, just depending on how I feel and all that. Or if it's a short ride, I'll do a brick and run afterwards. But when I do ride, like at lunchtime, it's all out. It's full on race effort, and I do that running too. It's kind of that Russ Jones philosophy, you know, short and sweet. You know, I only have an hour to do it, you know, and sometimes I'll knock out 20 miles and kind of stretch my hour a little bit, but you know, I'll hold better than 20 miles an hour for those rides and just really push them hard, and that's what I do.
Yeah, and there's some good hills out that way. Do you get out into the canyon at all?
Yeah, you know, I'll go up El Toro, then up Live Oak, through the canyon there, up Plano Trabuco, up Robinson Ranch and down, stuff like that. And earlier, years ago, I don't know if you know Todd Menzel.
No.
He was a pro triathlete for a while, and he's won PATCO several times overall. He works off site now, so I don't hardly ever get to see him, but he and I trained together, and he really pushed me hard. So that was good.
Yeah. Little plug there for Russ Jones. Try Less Is More is his
his
website.
Yeah.
And I've trained with Russ a little bit because I'm mostly a long distance guy. We don't train that often, but you know, you're right. I mean, he's just all out for a short period of time, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to train for sprints and even maybe Olympic distance. If you got the base
probably
behind you, I think it's the way to go, you know. At our age, we've got to protect ourselves somewhat, and you go the distance, you know, you're ended up hurting the rest of the day, and I don't want that. I want it to be fun. So
yeah.
Plus, I think you tend to lose your speed as you get older anyway, so you need to practice it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to race fast, you got to train fast.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a great bike split. You beat me by 3 minutes on the bike, too. So now I'm 5.5 minutes behind you, you know. I didn't really look at the bike splits, but I just had an okay, I was probably top 5 or 6 of the bike. But the run, I made back a couple of minutes on.
Yeah,
you were 24:23 and I was 22:27. But in a sprint distance race, you basically kicked my ass because you beat me by 3.5 minutes, which is a pretty good spread.
It was fun. Yeah.
It's nice to have a good race.
I've done Carlsbad 3 times, I think. This is the first time I won it. And I came to Carlsbad really wanting to win it, just because of that. It's one I hadn't conquered yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really, really push it hard. And those kind of races too, I never think about the next part of the race. I just, whatever part I'm in, the swim, the biker, well, the run, you're done once you're done. You finish there. But I don't think about the run while I'm on the bike. So I just do the bike as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And without thinking, oh, I better save something for...
No, I never think about saving it. Maybe I should, but no, it's a sprint, you know?
No, in a sprint race, I think that's the way I go. It's just like, go hard, you know? It's like, you can make your way through 3.1 miles.
Sure, you know, it's just an hour of your time.
Exactly.
It's an hour of pain.
Yeah, that's what I...
We survive that in training practically every day anyway.
I just raced a sprint, try it locally. In New Mexico, we do them in reverse because it's always a pool swim.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, but I'm driving to the race. I'm going, it's going to be less than an hour and 10 minutes of your time. So
right.
Just get out there and go.
Let just it go hurt. Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can suffer for that long.
That was my second comeback race, getting back into racing. The first was OC Tri.
Mm.
And... I had no idea if I was even going to make that run. I ended up walking quite a bit of it, but, and you know how hilly that is.
Oh, it's very hilly. Just,
yeah. And so I had a really good swim there, and never saw Russ on the bike. So I was first off the bike, and I got 3 miles down into the run before Russ finally caught me.
Oh.
It's that dirt hill climb, you know, when you run into that little park.
And, yep.
Up that dirt hill, that's where he got me. And but I was, again, because it took him so long, you know, I got it, that mental thing going that I'm gonna do this. And I had pre-run that part after that hill, the other side, and Vista del Lago. I'd run that like a week before just to know how long that was. And so, you know, I had it going and pushed that and everything. Unfortunately, I got passed by another person in the last few hundred yards.
Oh.
And he had the fastest run split, faster than Russ. So, you know,
yeah.
There's nothing I could do about that.
Yeah.
So I got third there, and that was a 50-minute run. And I was actually surprised and very happy with that. And, you know, Russ congratulated me at the end, and I just told him, I'm just happy to have finished. I really am.
Yeah. And thrilled to be on the podium.
Yeah, that was a bonus. I had no idea.
Standing upright. And it was bad
standing
as your back.
Standing up
is.
And, yeah, not collapsing over. But that one, I pushed the bike really hard, too. And that's a good, long, hard bike ride. And I was only a minute slower than Russ on that. And when I found that out, I knew I've got something going here.
That's amazing.
I better do some more races.
that is amazing. Yeah, because Russ is just, he's an animal on the bike, you know. He's got a new bike, by the way. He got a new felt.
See, that's the thing. New bike.
New bike, yeah. Yeah. Always faster on a new bike.
Always.
And you got to get the Shimano Di2, too, because he's got that. Yeah,
I've got a kid to put through college. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Who's got, you know, $8,000 to drop on a bike, you know?
Yeah.
Some people do. Well, yeah. And that's the other thing I always look at, too. So many women in my age group, they don't have kids, you know, they're married. It's like, it's a little bit easier to find time to train and to get to the more exotic races. And it's like, I'm a single mom. I got kids. I got to work full time. It's like, I'm still paying for my bike.
Oh, totally. You know, yeah. I've got an athlete that I coach, and she's an amazing, amazing athlete. She's going to Cozumel, and you know, her husband works. She's, you know, she's got 4 kids, so it's not like she's
sitting around, unlimited
amount of time. But you know, she's got a good amount of time to train, and you know, that helps if you've got
support. You know, it has to, because it's hard to fit it all in.
So what's your training look like? I mean, you know, to even do an Ironman, you've got to put in quite a bit of time, but to get to Kona is, you know, I mean, that's...
Well, that's why I choose to go to Buffalo Springs. One, it's within driving distance of where I live.
Yeah.
And this is, that was my third time doing the race there. Great race directors, and I'm familiar with the course. It's, the course suits me. It's a hard bike ride. It's got lots of climbing. I'm a good climber on the bike. And I'm not afraid of wind. I train in wind all the time. So, yeah. So it's all consuming.
So
I'm up at 5. I do all my training mostly in the morning.
Okay.
I do a little bit later in the day sometimes, just to get out in the heat. I'll go do a run after work or something like that.
Yeah.
When it's at its hottest.
And you're doing distance stuff on the weekend, long bikes, long runs on the weekend?
Yeah.
So what does that look like? What's a long bike for you?
Right now I'm biking around 5 hours. So I do it more by time. I ride without a computer.
Okay.
And
not a bad idea, actually.
I have a kind of a bike coach. He used to race all the tours in Europe. He's the same age as me, and he likes that I ride without a computer. I go, do you think I should get a computer this year? And he's going, no, I like it. I like that you ride Zen, that you ride by feel. He's going, no computer. He's going, here's what I want you to do. So my bike rides are one day of hills where I work the last part of the climb and over the top.
Okay.
And then I do, climbs and descents. And practice my downhilling, and especially with a crosswind, or if he rides with me, he'll ride next to me and push me. He'll just ride up and push me like that.
Which is pretty much what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, when you're coming back from Javi, you know, the wind feels like it's literally blowing
you
over.
He'll do that, and just to get me used to, so I'll stay relaxed. And he's taught me so much about the bike. The first time I rode with him, he's gone, you're riding your bike like a runner. I'm going to teach you to ride like a rider. And so the ultimate compliment was last year when he went, you're riding like a rider now.
Oh, nice.
And I went, okay, that's about as good as I'm going to get out of him.
So did you heart rate? Heart rate monitor? Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, he just gives me, climbs and descents. And what else do I do? And then I do a speed workout on the road.
How long is that typically?
A time trial, anywhere from 5 to 10 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. There's two different routes that I use. And they're hilly. They're not flat and fast.
Yeah.
And then I do a long ride, and then I'll do like a medium ride that'll be part of a brick. And almost all of them have something attached to them, either a swim bike or a bike run. The long bike ride, I'll do a very short run after, just until I feel my back relax and my running legs come back around. So it'll only be 10-15 minutes off the bike after a long run or a ride. Yeah, and then I do a long run. I'm right now, my run's up to getting close to 3 hours.
That's a good nice long run.
And then swim.
Is that what you'll peak at, is 3 hours, or will you go longer than
that? No, I'm going to go up to 4 hours.
Okay, so you're going to go almost a full marathon then.
Yeah, I just, because your body doesn't know distance and knows time.
Yeah.
So I want to know that I can run that long, because that's a long time to ask your, you know, when I normally would run a 3:15 marathon or something if I was only running a marathon. So.
Yeah.
So I just need to remind myself what it's like to run for that long, because I don't want to run marathons if I don't have to anymore. I used to do it, but now I just have no interest.
I know, it's funny because, you know, I get asked that all the time. You know, do you run marathons? And I say no, not unless they're attached to an Ironman.
That's what, I don't have a big desire. Unless I'm going to go to a place that intrigues me. It has to be an interesting location.
What's her name? Kathy Loper goes to Kilimanjaro every year. You know, you do that marathon.
Oh, there's one in Medoc in France where you run through the vineyards and there's wine tables and water tables.
Nice, okay.
That I would go do.
The Dublin Marathon.
Well, Dublin, I'm done. I don't need to go do that again.
But I just find that I do run, you know, several half marathons a year.
Halves, I think, are good. I always try to do one half a year where I really focus on speed.
Yeah.
It didn't happen this year. My race that I picked had a headwind the entire distance, and it was so disappointing. So,
boy, the wind messes with you.
Yeah,
you know?
The year before I ran a 130 half.
Wow,
and
that's
I just didn't think that was possible for me to do that, and just felt incredible the whole time. So I want to find that runner again. So I'm really trying to work my run a little bit more this time, because I feel like I lost a little something. I spent so much time on the bike.
Yeah.
And running is really my thing.
Yeah, I guess 130 half is,
yeah,
that's
at
smoking
50
fast.
54 years old, or however old. Maybe I was 55 then. I think I was 55 then. So I was really, I was like, okay, you can still do this. You
have,
yeah. So, and it just, but it hasn't felt good lately, but it's coming back around. I'm starting to feel good on my run again.
Amazing.
I'm excited about that. Wow. I'm hoping it all comes together.
Yeah.
In the right mix.
Yeah, because your big race is coming up. How many weeks is it then? It's 10, 11, 12, something like that?
Oh, not that many. So we're almost at the end of July, August, September.
Yeah.
And then 1 week in October, 3 week taper.
Yeah.
Doesn't leave you a lot. I ride the Santa Fe Century route. That's my long bike ride.
Okay.
I ride it in reverse. We figured it's close to 112 miles, and it's definitely got some good climbing, and you always get some weather. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's a good route, and I end up doing a lot of it by myself, and people go, well, don't you want somebody to ride with you? I go, no, really, you're out there by yourself, and you need to learn how to be by yourself for...
Yeah.
6 hours or however long it's going to take you.
I know, but it's so hard. I mean,
I get into it.
I
like it.
I have those days too. You know,
I like it.
I like to go early. You know,
nobody else likes to go as early as I do.
Yeah, I like to go at 5:30 in the morning
too.
The light is just starting to come up.
I should move here. I have somebody to ride
with. Yeah, well, but you don't like to ride with anybody, so there you go.
Yeah.
But I like to go early, and, you know, this morning I was on the road by 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know,
so
it's like, get it done.
Get it done. It's quiet.
But I do need to do the heat training. You know, that's another thing. You really, if you're going to race in the heat, Louisville is going to be hotter than sin
and sticky
and humid.
Yeah,
you know, I got to get out in the heat more and train during the day. So
you need to get some of that. I mean, you don't want to do so much that you're slowing down, because it will slow you down, but you need to acclimate.
Yeah,
somewhat.
I think I'll really focus on the heat about 2 weeks prior to the race, you know,
probably about right, because then you've got your training done.
Yeah.
Then you're tapering. Then you're just spending a little bit of time
right
out in the heat.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't want to keep you guys too much longer here, but we've been talking for almost 45 minutes, and I can probably just keep going and going. But I promised you guys we'd get done by 7. So.
No problem.
And it's 7.
Oh, it's
7,
fun.
So.
No, we.
Yeah.
I manage a running store in Santa Fe, and.
Oh, really?
And we do some triathlon. Everybody that works in the store does tries as well, and we love nothing better than sitting and talking to people about training and racing. This is what we do.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. That's what I love about this. Is, you know, whoever we're talking to is coming from a different angle, different experience. And,
yeah.
You know, I never get tired of it. Never get tired of it.
No.
I just have to figure out how to make some money at it. That's the
yeah,
next
don't we all?
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a sugar daddy.
Anyway, thank you guys both so much. It's been great getting to know you guys. And with any luck, I'll be in Kona with you.
Yes.
I'm not going to be coming. I've already been once this year, so I'm not going to come back just to watch. I have volunteered a couple of times, though.
I think it would be incredible to go volunteer, because I was knocked out by the volunteers.
Oh.
Just completely knocked out. They were fantastic.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience, and I recommend it to anybody. You know, if you're interested in the sport at all, that's the epitome by the way, if you're volunteering. I mean, it's great to volunteer at local races, which I've done as well, but to volunteer at Kona is just incredible.
Oh, it's got to be.
So inspiring.
No, they were the best. It's like, what else do you need? What? And they would not even ask me because they already had it all done and ready for me.
I know. So
so I'm looking forward to that
well,
part
good
of it,
luck.
Too. Thanks.
Hopefully I'll be
you
there.
Too?
Are you
going
to go watch
yes.
your sister?
Not this time.
I know. I took him as my Sherpa last time.
Yeah, Sherpa 2009. So.
I was such a novice. I didn't know how to rebuild my bike. But now I've taken apart my bike and packed it and unpacked it and rebuilt it a couple times. So
we got to get you scuba diving, dude. I mean, you know, that's another one of my passions.
Yeah.
And I've been scuba diving off the Big Island so many times. It's
the
got
water
some,
there.
I'm actually certified.
Gorgeous.
I was certified in 75 and went diving like twice and then moved on, you know.
Yeah.
And
like, okay, done that.
Yeah, but I can't find my card, and I don't even know.
Are you certified through Patty?
No, it wasn't Patty.
What's the other one?
It was Nowy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And Nowy's so disorganized that, you know, you could never go back in their archives and
no,
find
they're
anything.
Never going to find your C card.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I write... Well, I don't write, but I handle all the training materials for every course that Patty offers.
Oh, my God.
And so...
Just how many courses? 1,000 or something?
A lot, you know.
It's a ton.
And, you know, I know all the answers to all the quizzes and knowledge reviews and tests and everything. So I should just do it,
just
you know?
Take the test. It'd take you 2 seconds.
It's
of
one
course,
more
you
thing.
Might, you might have a tough time passing the swim test.
Yeah, I don't know if I do 200 yards.
Yeah,
be
I don't know.
That would be a challenge.
See, that's the thing. There's too many fun things to do in life.
Yeah.
There's just, and I was like, oh, I'm getting sucked into triathlon.
Yeah.
I love it,
it's
but I love other things, too.
I will probably limit the try still because, do you know Mark Montgomery?
No.
Heard of him? Well, you know Dan Enfield.
Yeah.
He's a good buddy of Dan's, and he was a former pro Ironman triathlete. Never did well at Kona, but you know has won other ones. And anyway, he's down in San Clemente now, and he picked up competitive swimming, just pool swimming. And he was looking at his times, and I can beat him because we compare. Our times we do during training and stuff, and I'm faster than him now. And so I told him, you know, next year when swimming season starts, you got to kick my butt and make me get in there and do some races.
Go to nationals.
And also inspired because Janet Evans started showing up at my pool.
Oh, nice.
And Brian Goodell. And so I trained with them a little bit, and I got a huge jump in speed by doing that.
Wow.
I was doing 200s in like 220, and so I did one with those guys, and I had already gotten like 1500 yards in of hard swimming. I said, okay, I'll do one of these 200s with you, and just put it all out, and did a 209
oh my God,
with them,
dude.
And I go, well, ready for the next one?
No,
I was done, but I was. Just really thrilled and made me think I should get back into competitive swimming. And so I'll probably be dividing my time. I'd love to do some more open water swimming, competitive swimming, and then some tries.
And do your
here
sprint tries.
Wow.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a nice combination.
Yeah.
So where do you do all your swimming? Right here at the Y?
Crown Valley, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I swim there occasionally. You know Chris Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I swim there occasionally. I belong to the 24-hour... Agassi over here, so that's where I usually
swim. I hear that pool has gone real downhill.
Well, since I joined. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, no, they lost their manager, their maintenance guy, and so the pool's like not very well kept now.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it gets occasionally it gets pretty dirty. Yeah. But no, I love the Crown Valley pool. But you're there in the mornings, right? You're
six
there,
in the morning.
Six, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may come just to try to hang with you a little bit. You're way faster than me, but you're right. Swimming with people that are better than you doing anything with people that are better
than
you.
I'm sure it upped my game the last two mornings swimming there.
Yeah, she's been coming to the pool and yeah.
Yeah.
And is he giving you a good workout? Or are you?
No, I do my own thing. But he, you know, made me do some drills. I never do drills. I'm essentially lazy when it comes to swimming. It's like I really don't like this. So I'll just do what I have to do. But he's going, you know,
you do drills.
You still do drills?
A little bit, not much. I'm doing them because I'm helping somebody out.
Have you watched him underwater? Uh-huh. Have you ever?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Is he amazing? He's
yeah,
got to
I just watch when he zooms by me. I'm watching underwater. I'm just like, wow. I think I look like that, but I know I don't. So
yeah, I swam in that endless pool at Kona.
Yeah.
And I've never looked at that videotape.
Oh, you haven't?
No. It's VHS. I don't even have a player. Oh, yeah.
No, well, I was watching it while you were swimming when they were filming it.
Yeah,
but I found those things weird though. I couldn't really swim well in it.
We had an endless pool at our facility. Yeah.
The problem I had with it is that the water that you swim in it's such a narrow channel that if you get off to one side, you're compensating. You're crossing your center line a ton, and you know you're all over the place. I imagine it's just like getting on a tri bike from a road bike where you're all over the place because your balance is way off when you're tucked down and you get used to it.
The best way to evaluate somebody's stroke, you know, without a doubt. But I do have an underwater camera.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring it someday at 6 o'clock in the morning. Would you let me film you?
Sure. Why not?
You should.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. The only problem with that pool is that, you know, it's best to be in the lane. Well, actually, it's probably better to be two lanes away. That first lane in the shallow end has got some kind of gizmo or something. You can't really swim
handicap
that
entry
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, actually, we'd have to get in that second lane, but I'd love to film you and take a look at it. In fact, I'd love to have you look at my stroke, too, to see if you can see anything.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not too good at that. I can... I'm not so scientific at it, but I have helped people. I'm helping Michelle Barton out. I don't know if you know Michelle.
No.
She's an ultra runner, and she's really good at it. You know, I'll ask her, so what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I did the Saddleback Marathon, which is up to the top and back. She goes, I chicked all but six guys.
Good girl.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And so, you know, I had her doing fist drills and getting her hips higher up and everything. And she went from
changing her body position.
From a 27 second 25 to 19 seconds in one day.
That's huge.
In one day.
That's huge.
And she's pretty excited about that.
Did I tell you, speaking of being chicked, when I beat Amy at Atomic Man?
Yeah.
And I won. I was overall winner at a duathlon up in White Rock. It's Steve's done it a couple times. It's a quite tough race.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, they go, well, one thing we have to say about Liz is well, she's 57 years old. and Amy, the local, she'll be at Kona this year. She's an awesome athlete. Somehow I beat her. She must have been having an off day. But anyway, I go, Amy, you've been ARPed. She's going, ARPed. That's
okay. AARP, get it? Of course, you only have to be 50 to join ARP now.
Yeah. You know. Well, she wasn't. She's not 50 yet. So.
Amazing.
But then I was going, ooh, I need to coin that. We need it on T-shirts. You've been ARPed.
Yeah.
Instead of
chipped. That's funny. Yeah.
That's great, actually. Yeah, you should do that.
That's how we'll make money.
Yeah. We got to figure out some cusp. All right, you guys. I'm going to let you go. So thank you so much. You can find us at triathica.com, or you can email me at ron@triathica.com or triathicaacademy.com. We're all over the place on the web. And thank you guys both so much. It's been getting...
Well, thanks.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It's been fun.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good to finally meet you.